Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. If you're like me, getting back in shape is always a goal, but that's what it remains, a goal. That's why I'm excited about our new advertiser, FitBod. FitBod is a fitness app that tailors workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule. It's like having a personal trainer in your pocket. Whether you're a gym rat or just trying to get back in the groove like me, FitBod evolves with you, tweaking routines to push your limits and maximize your gains. And FitBod keeps things fun, mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. It's like a new challenge every time you work out. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join FitBod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription by trying the app for free at fitbod.me/zabe. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's fitbod.me/zabe. Today on the ZabeCast, it's Andy Poland, the guy I once derisively called Good Enough Andy. A man who knows more Redskins history than anybody. Somebody who loved Chinese food, Tiger Woods, and 60 Minutes on Sundays. And a guy who taught me the word Meshuggahna. Your bonus, uncensored 35-minute edition of the ZabeCast is locked and loaded. So buckle up and let's go.
Here we go.
It is your Sports Reporters Express, the mini show that's going to cover a lot of ground today, including good aura, bad aura, tournament madness, upset city, Alabama situation, Dan Snyder sale seems imminent, and then Lamar versus Lamar. Andy Poland joins us now after a weekend spent at a friend's wedding.
No, more than a friend. Nephew.
Family. I love it. And I asked you via text, how was it? And you said, pretty good. The horror was not bad. And I then replied, well, maybe when you come on Monday, you can tell me what constitutes a good horror or a not so good one.
All right. You wanted to launch into that to start? I'll be happy to do that.
Why so hesitant? Why'd you pause awkwardly like that? I thought you'd jump. I thought you'd pick up that loose football. First of all, am I saying it right? Hora.
Hora. H-O-R-A. Hora.
It is the traditional Jewish wedding dance in which the bride is picked up on a chair and paraded around the room, correct?
Yeah. That's you're in the ballpark there. And it's not just for weddings, because we do it for bar mitzvahs as well.
Oh, okay.
But yes, and you will actually lift the bride and the groom. And
both of them. Hold
both of them, yes.
On chairs.
On chairs. And okay. Then they will each hold an end of a handkerchief to symbolize something. And don't ask me what that is, but that's an old tradition. And then at some point, depending on the parents, they sometimes are willing, sometimes not, but the parents are lifted up as well. Now, you may remember that Charles Barkley's daughter married a Jewish guy 2-3 years ago. And, you know, Barkley's down about 60 pounds now. There you go. That's the song that they play.
Hava Nagila is the song when they dance the hora.
Right. And Chuck was about 3 bills in those days. And he said, we're going to need all hands on deck to raise me for that hora.
All right. So what constitutes a good hora?
Okay, well, as I've told you, there are three divisions of Judaism. There's Orthodox, Conservative, and Reform. And
which is Division One?
Division One is Orthodox. You're gone all the way. Okay. That means no riding on Saturday, no turning on lights, no television, the whole Megillah there.
And you certainly don't roll on Shomer Shabbos, as the line went in the movie The Big Lebowski.
Exactly. And then the conservative is, you're maybe a little closer to the Orthodox, but you get in a car on Saturday, you know, you'll bend a little bit.
Okay.
And then Reform is basically do what you want to do. Okay. So I'm somewhere in between conservative and Reform.
Oh, maybe really? Okay.
Reform.
Yeah. Okay. So what's the D1 again?
Oh, Orthodox.
Orthodox. Orthodox is D1. Conservative is 1AA.
Right.
Reformed is NAIA maybe, or Division 2 or Division 3. Is there an even lower level, like intramural? Is that like California Judaism?
The lower level might be what has actually transpired in Atlanta over the weekend. I'm not sure about the intentions of my nephew's bride, who is not Jewish.
Okay.
But she went along with the traditions in the Jewish wedding. They were married under what's called a chuppah, which is a big it's like a canopy that they're married under. He wore a yarmulke as they were being married. He broke the glass, which is also tradition there, and even the it was a couple that officiated the ceremony. I don't think either one was a minister or a rabbi. I'm not sure what their affiliation was, but as was pointed out, when the man breaks the glass just before he kisses the bride, it's seen as the last time he puts his foot down in the marriage. Har, har, har.
So is this lovely Goyim wife going to become a Goyim. Jewish? What's Goyim? I thought Goyim was non-Jewish.
Well, Goyim is sort of, less than complimentary term for non-Jewish.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, so I should not use that then in mixed company.
There's also a term called shiksa. You know, a man who's not Jewish is called a shagitz. You know, there's all kinds of ways you can go on this.
Okay.
But anyway.
So you say you don't know the intentions of the bride because she's not Jewish. Is she going to go? Is she going to fully embrace the religion and go through all the training as an adult? Or is she just going to do it for the jokes like Whatley in Seinfeld? Remember that?
Yeah, I really don't know.
Here. Wait, are you about done?
Well, I'm just getting warmed up. Because I'm just a sadist with newer magazines.
Huh?
Father Curtis told me your little joke. I really didn't appreciate it.
Well, what about all your Jewish jokes?
I'm Jewish. You're not a dentist. You have no idea what my people have been through.
My people.
The Jews? No, the dentists.
Funny that that's Bryan Cranston, who went on to play Walter White in Breaking Bad, one of the most intense, crazy, awesome, good shows of all time. That was him back then. So anyway, the net was good wedding, decent horror. Mm-hmm. How much basketball did you watch?
I got back. This is Saturday night wedding. So we actually got there on Friday because you had the rehearsal dinner. And then I watched, you know, some on Friday after the rehearsal dinner. I watched some on Saturday. We didn't get back to the hotel room until the second half of the Maryland game, in which they were only down, I think, 5 points at the half, 6 points at the half.
They were hanging in there.
Yeah, but the rest of the way was just a Eichewald.
Another Jewish term, Eichewald, if you will. So you only got to see a little bit of it. Was that hard? Because, I mean, you know, you're a big Maryland basketball fan, and this was a nice little run to the second round for a team that was not expected to do much.
Yeah. Well, you know, my nephew and his now wife, they both work for the Falcons. He's an assistant trainer, and she's their director of social media. Oh, so there's a small window, as you know, with the NFL calendar when you can have a marriage. So they planned it this weekend, which, you know, my son is a huge basketball fan and an Indiana graduate, loves Indiana, and lives in New York. And actually, Indiana played in Albany this past weekend. Now, they went down last night, But he would have found a way to get there if he wasn't in this wedding. So, you know, there's a lot of things that that went into this. But, you know, I did watch enough and picked up bits and pieces. This was, you know, we last week talked like old men. Oy, college basketball is not the same as it used to be. But once this thing gets going,
it's so good.
Gets crazy. It's just insane.
It's so good. I spent the better part of yesterday's podcast. I had on Mark Packer, Billy Packer's son, who does stuff for the ACC Network, and Gary Williams, formerly the Golf Channel, now a Sirius XM PGA Tour Golf, who's a diehard North Carolina fan. He knows his college basketball. He's a psychopath. And we had a good discussion about it, and I started by saying, you know, a week ago, me and old man Andy were bellyaching about I'm not that interested anymore, and then the tournament just sucks me in. It's so good. What do you like the most about it? Because I said I am a sucker for the coach-player bonding, especially the racial harmony that sports provides. We're all on one team. The only color we care about is the school colors, right? Mm-hmm. And the parents in the stands who have lived vicariously through their children and died in the stands, living and dying, watching the games. It's such an intoxicating blend.
Yeah, and here's what happens. It you look at it and you go, okay, this is only a 3-week period, and you got the mishmash of all these teams, mm-hmm. and some of them are going to be around for one night. But a team like Fairleigh Dickinson wins a game, and all of a sudden, you're emotionally invested in Fairleigh Dickinson. If they were on television, if they were playing in your backyard on a Saturday, you would close the blinds.
I know.
But now you're all into it. And judgments on teams and coaches are made in just one particular game. And, you know, let's say Fairleigh Dickinson plays Purdue in one of those, you know, guarantee games in the early part of the season in December.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're there, or once in a while they pull an upset there, but it kind of just passes as, okay, yeah, they're not focused now. They're getting ready for the season. But then you get in the tournament and you go, Oh my God, how is this happening? And these people who rode the buses from Jersey all day to get to Columbus. Oh God, look at them. And then like last night they're out, and now we forget about them as we move into the next weekend. It's these mini dramas that play out over a course of hours, and then we move on to the next drama. It's really crazy. It's insane.
It is good. It's a very strong brew. In fact, I had bad news for my colleague, Brian Butch, former Wisconsin big man, who's been preaching all year. He gets mad at me and John Kuhn, the former Packer, because all we want to talk about on our crossover segment every day of the week during the football season is, well, football.
Yeah.
And I have kind of in my mind sequestered college basketball to the month of March. And I know that that is wrong and kind of weird, given that I have a deep history with the game, being the former voice of the UC Santa Barbara Gauchos, who lost, by the way, to Baylor going away. They hung in there for a while, but then just pretty much rolled over, which was unfortunate. And I told him today, I go, I got good news and bad news. I said, the good news is I love the tournament more than I've ever loved it before. And I want it. I can't wait to watch these next set of games starting on Thursday. The bad news is I don't think the regular season is a strong enough brew for me. You know what I mean? It's the same dynamic as baseball, Andy, where I love October so much and will certainly watch October baseball, even with two teams I don't really care about. But regular season baseball? Hell no. I'm not watching that.
Yeah, but you really don't have a team, do you?
No, I do. I mean, I'll watch the home team. I watch the Nationals. Obviously, when I was regularly doing radio in D.C., and I'm now watching the Brewers on the regular during the regular season just to stay in touch with them. But I'm saying that the stronger potion of both March for college basketball and October for baseball have distilled it so that I don't want the weaker brew anymore. It's the same dynamic, and this you won't get this reference because you don't watch either show. Used to be a huge Simpsons fan. Okay. Love the Simpsons. Stop watching. You know why? Family Guy. Family Guy took the jokes to a whole new level, was a much stronger drink that got me drunker on funny quicker. And I was like, I don't even have time for the Simpsons. So yeah, that's the dynamic here. I would say a lot of fans, Andy, are starting to segment their sports calendar in this type of way where they say, I'm not going to overlap my interests like I once did as a sports fan. I'm going to concentrate them.
Yeah, but the seasons are so different now. I mean, the NFL, as we talked about last week, it doesn't end in January. It ends in February now. And you immediately segue into free agency and the draft. And so it eats up so much of the calendar. You know, back in the day, the Super Bowl would be played in mid-January, and you really wouldn't think about much until the draft. And then, you have college basketball and the NBA and hockey. And, you know, it prior to like the late 60s, maybe into the early 70s, the NBA finals would be played in mid-April. They got out of the way for baseball. Now we don't wrap up until the end of June, maybe into July. It's a whole different ball game. And so college basketball has been eaten up by the overlap of the seasons in other sports. And they're just, and the number of games, it's just hard to pay attention to everything. Like when UCLA, and this happened a couple of times on national TV, when UCLA's big winning streaks were stopped by Notre Dame, people would be talking about it at work on Monday because everybody saw the same game. Yeah. Now there's 400 games to choose from. You're probably not watching one of those games.
Yeah. Which brings me to the Alabama angle of this. As I watched Alabama and Maryland, I was, of course, struck by how talented, athletic, and well-coached Alabama is. And Brandon Miller, this kid, is going to be a great NBA player, probably. He's got all the tools for it. But I also made the mistake, Andy, of reading several articles with the detailed recap and report and allegations about the shooting, for which he was not deemed an accessory to the crime, but as a cooperating witness. And I got to tell you, I thought I was pretty immune to the sleazy underbelly of college sports and college basketball, but watching Alabama made me uncomfortable. Yeah, and I know that he is not even charged with a crime. And I know that somebody emailed me saying, Zabe, aren't you the guy that screams innocent till proven guilty? Yeah, I get all that. It's hard for me, though, to watch him play and think, how does Nate Oates compartmentalize all of this? Because even though Brandon Miller may not have done anything wrong legally speaking, there certainly is a moral gray area that he was treading in. And there was two other members of the basketball program that murdered a single mom over a dispute at a club. Something so trivial, it blows the mind.
Yeah, well, I thought the trigger man, the alleged trigger man, was not with the basketball team.
He was not with the basketball program, but the other guy that was kicked off the team, Miles, I believe, who's also charged with murder.
Darius Miles, right?
Yes, he was the one involved in the dispute where basically some woman, this woman who was shot and killed, was with her boyfriend dancing near their cars as they were parked outside the entertainment district of downtown Tuscaloosa. And the woman said to Miles, basically, I'm not interested in you. And that rejection led him to tell Brandon Miller, go get my piece. He was already coming anyway in the car. The gun was in the back seat of the car. It was at that point that I guess Miles got the gun, and it was his buddy who didn't play for the team who ended up shooting at the car that had the woman in it and died. It just, oh God, Andy, it's so crazy to think about. And they were saying about Brandon Miller, they're like, this kid's parents are both Alabama. Played for Alabama, like the athletic pedigree. He's from Alabama. That's all he ever wanted to do was play for Alabama. Seems like a nice guy. Probably is a nice young man. Maybe he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, but what the fuck? What the fuck?
We live in a culture where guns are so prevalent. And, you know, he's, first of all, if I'm driving a car and I find out later that there's a gun in there, that scares the hell out of me.
What would you do? Because apparently Miles knew, well, there's conflicting reports about whether he knew the gun was in the car or not. Right. But what would you do if one of your friends said, I got my piece back here. Oh, by the way.
I'd say, I'm going to take this car back because I'm not going
to
drive.
I'm not driving you. If you go to drive me to Bennigan's, our favorite restaurant, and I say, I've got my gun on me, what do you say to me?
I say, let me out of the car.
you're like, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
You don't want to be part of it. You don't want to be near it.
Unless you know, I do have a friend who worked for the DEA for a while and used to carry a gun in his, he had a holster by his ankle, as a matter of fact. But he was trained with the weapon, and he had a, you know, he that was part of what he did for a living. But anybody else, no, I'm not comfortable with that.
It's to me, it's like I watched Alabama play, I watched Nate Oates do his thing, and I know that these young men on this team, their lives are wrapped up in this season. They've got a great chance to win a championship. They had nothing. Most of them had nothing to do with this, but the program still had let into its circle young men who had a mindset that was fucking crazy. Like shooting somebody was an appropriate way to settle some kind of diss about, you know, a girl.
Well, look, you know, the 2 years that I did a team was the SMU in the early 80s, and Dave Bliss was the coach. And Dave Bliss later tried to cover up violations in recruiting by trying to pin the murder of one player
on a drug deal gone bad.
Yeah, and it was disgraceful. And here's a guy who at one time was a rising star in the profession. He coached with Bobby Knight, you know, and he had great success. He had teams that did very well, and the pressure. And I'm not excusing it in any way. But he used the pressure of that to basically tube his life doing something stupid, you know?
Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Meanwhile, Patino is back. St. John's job takes it. And back page of the New York Post today says a big money alum is ready to start opening the spigots for nil money to get players in at St. John's. St. John's, Big East letterhead, nil money from deep-pocketed boosters. They're going to be good again, Andy. You watch.
Oh. Here's one thing about St. John's. St. John's has always paid players legally because they don't
legally?
Have dorms.
Oh, yes, right.
Legally. They don't have dorms. So they got stipends to either rent an apartment or, like in the case of Chris Mullen, live at home, or Mark Jackson, who lived in Queens. Mullen was from Brooklyn. And they would just pocket the money. So now with NIL money, you're going to have guys who could conceivably live in Fifth Avenue apartments, you know, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Patino is all the way back from when you thought his career could have been or would have been dead as a doornail.
Well, that's because the NCAA, if it ever existed, is as dead as a doornail. Right. And here he was escorted out of his office at Louisville, you know, like he was some kind of a criminal. And they did an investigation, and, you know, most people said, oh, God, you know, he'll never be able to do it. He got resurfaced at Iona. And then when the NCAA was complete, they went, eh, he didn't do anything. He's okay. Yeah. So, you know, it cheating ain't cheating anymore. And, you know, and he's had this going back to when he was an assistant at Hawaii, when he first got out of college in like the early 70s. It's, you know, it's what he's been known for.
Yeah. Which brings us to our next big story, which is the sale of the Commanders and the final exit of Dan Snyder appears imminent now, as reports are swirling and there is sort of Easter egg clues and some of the free agent contracts that are being signed for players that seem to indicate a sale date could be coming. We are on DEFCON 1 footing now. It could literally be any hour at this point, as the league owners meetings are set to begin, I believe the 24th. So at the end of the week is when the owners meetings begin. Do you finally feel it's going to happen? And how do you feel about it?
Oh, as I say, I think this, when it happens, will be like the fourth Super Bowl for the team. I mean, I can't imagine a greater celebration than when he's finally out. And what I had heard several years ago, I may have even gone back before the Washington Post reporting on the sexual harassment and all the horrible things that were going on, that Snyder had cash flow problems. I found that hard to believe.
Have you been following this guy, AJ Perez, writes yes. for an outfit called Front Office Sports?
Yep. I've had him on the show a bunch of times. Yep.
Yes. He does great work. And I didn't get to read the whole article. It's beyond a paywall because they are a startup entity and he does great reporting. He reported that Dan Snyder was unique amongst NFL owners in that he paid himself a salary, right, whereas most owners do not. And his salary was, oh, look at that, $10 million. Right. Hilarious.
Right. Yeah. I mean, all the financial things, the hanky panky, the $55 million loan, that the line of credit that he didn't tell his partners about. Mm-hmm. So he's reportedly $1 billion in debt, including the debt waiver that he got from the league to buy out his partners. And he's choking. And not to mention all the other investigations that are going on. And I think Perez was the one that reported that the Mary Jo White investigation goes far beyond Jason Friedman allegation that he was putting money into different accounts to hide money from the league and things like that. I mean, the walls are closing in. He's got to get out.
So I have a modest. Well, it's not modest. I have an idea for something. I don't know if I can pull it off. It's essentially a live show at a theater, almost like an Alamo Drafthouse type theater. Not a ton of seats, 500 at most, more like 100, 200, where you and I on stage with a couple of chairs and microphones and a guest chair or two bring up a bunch of people to celebrate Dan Snyder finally being ousted as owner. Drinks, some food, live show, you and me as the host to just tell stories. Oh, and we could put up on the screen photos of him and Vinny and tell, remember that time? And we would just revel and laugh and mock him. We would spike the football, Andy, on this, the closing of the Dan Snyder era. If we charge money for the event, we could charge it to cover the cost of the venue, but then also take whatever's left over, give it to a charity. It could be a fun night, couldn't it? How do we pull this off? You're in? Okay, good.
Let's do it.
Where would be a good venue? If anyone in the D.C. area knows a venue that could host an event like this, and we'll have to get a good name, but basically as soon as this goes final, we have to get together and celebrate as the best we can, you and I having presided over so much of the stupidity through the years, and let like-minded Redskin football team and Commander fans do the same.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are so many stories. Just coincidentally, I saw this story in the paper over the weekend about, you know, people who can't sleep before a big trip and things that they should do, you know, to, you know, don't drink before you go and don't drink coffee, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I instantly thought of Fred Davis, Fred Sleepy Davis, who missed
one of the first days of training camp, oversleeping.
Rookie minicamp. Yeah. He missed it because he overslept. I mean, so here you're about to launch your dream come true, your NFL career, and you oversleep minicamp.
I know. And Fred Davis, who then went on to represent himself in a lawsuit against a nightclub in which they were blaming him for, I forget what they accused him of, but the actual court testimony from this low-level case was hilarious because he was not equipped to be his own fucking lawyer.
Yeah. See, this is the thing. It's like an oil spill. It just keeps spreading, and there's another story, and there's another story, and there's another story that connects to it. It's an unbelievable run of stupidity over the last 24 years.
And because it wouldn't be on the radio, we could have a fleeting expletive or two. We could really get into the weeds on this stuff, tell the stories, walk through the Snyder eras, and have people come up with, you know, to a microphone to ask questions or to add their commentary. It could be an absolute great night. Now, as far as who else will join us on stage, we have to find people whose careers in DC are kind of either washed up or washed out entirely and not fearing any kind of reprisal. Who do you think might join us to get in on the dog pile?
You know who might be in a vengeful mood and would really know stuff?
Larry Michael?
The NDA might prevent him from saying anything.
Yeah.
But somebody who knows where the bones are buried.
The problem is Larry was in on a lot of the shenanigans.
Yes, I know.
It'd be hard for me to give him a stage to then bash Snyder when I'd be like, yeah, but we know, bro, what you were doing as his henchman. Hey, pal, it's not that bad.
We also know Larry Weissman, who was in fact fired from the team, but does have an NDA, I believe. But when you talk to him, you just get the idea, okay, there are things he really, really knows and could say. You know, I don't know what the statute of limitations are, but he would be another interesting one.
All right. Well, think about it. Lamar Jackson says he is going to release an interview with himself on his own YouTube platform to talk about why it is he still has not agreed to terms with the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar and Lamar, do you think he's going to do like a split screen edit where he dresses up in a suit and literally asks himself questions? Is this a good idea, Andy?
Well, he's the one that's his own agent. And so why wouldn't he be his own interviewer, right? It just sort of fits together. But I wonder how revealing that's going to be. There's nobody really to advise him. That's the problem. That's the biggest problem there. Like if he is going to reveal things, if he had an agent might say, whoa, I don't know if you want to say this. I don't know if you want to say that. So it could be more revealing than if he actually did an interview.
Did you read the excellent piece by Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports about what agents would tell Lamar if they had hired him?
No, but I've heard enough of these experts who say, you know, like there are players like Roquan Smith, who signed an extension with the Ravens, highest ever for a linebacker, $60 million guaranteed. But they said the level of complications for a quarterback is like tenfold for a linebacker. And just trying to do this as a quarterback is almost impossible.
Right. And so basically, you should read the article. It's good. The agents basically said, look, you're too focused on, I want the exact same deal Deshaun got, which was a longer deal, fully guaranteed. You should go for a deal that gives you effectively guaranteed money for, say, 3 years at a very high number, right? Like $40 million a year. But then if the team wants to structure the contract so that the last 2 or 3 years of the deal escalates to the point where it's going to blow up and they'll have to renegotiate, that's good. Because they'll either have to cut you or they'll have to come back to you with more money. And they were bringing up how Kirk Cousins did it. He took shorter deals that were fully guaranteed. But because he kept performing well enough to get new contracts, he's really piled up a lot of money. It was interesting. And then another agent said, look, no matter how much you want to just fold your arms and go, well, I'm better than him. I want what he's having. Remember these owners, this agent says. They all travel in the same ultra-rich circles. They buy the yachts from the same place. They hang out in the same locales. They talk to each other all the time. And when they're put against the wall by a very strong-willed player, they're not going to necessarily react logically.
Right. Yeah. Look.
Yeah.
I've read this, that he may be interested in becoming the next Kirk Flood, that he's willing to stand on principle. And, you know, he made, what do you make, $23 million last year, something like that?
But Kurt Flood challenged a totally restrictive system, the reserve clause, and helped break it with the likes of Marvin Miller. I don't think there's the comparison here because there's an avenue for him to get to free agency. He's just going to have to swim through two franchise tags, which is what Kirk did.
Yeah, but he's also put himself in a position where he got the smaller tag this time.
I know.
So if he has to come back with his tail between his legs for $32 million, who among us wouldn't, but he would do that. And then another year where it doesn't even get to what, does it get to 45 next year if they do it again? I don't know. So
yeah.
He's already cost himself some money in the way he's handled things. And, you know, I read this one thing that might sway me towards believing he could become Kirk Flood. He lives in a house in Owings Mills. And I read that house sold for $1.5 million.
That's it. Not much money.
Yeah, that buys,
probably a five bedroom colonial.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean that's crazy.
Yeah.
So
we'll see. Then there's this story on the way out the door. Tell me if your bullshit meter goes off here. Ready? Headline: Man dead after wife accidentally runs over him in Frederick County, Maryland.
Whoa. I mean, these happened. What were the circumstances?
It doesn't say.
Oh.
It says Frederick County Fire and Rescue pronounced the man whose name is being withheld at the family's request dead on the scene. They say his wife accidentally backed over him in their driveway at the edge of the road.
Really? Check the insurance policies. Yeah. See what the life insurance says.
I mean, come on. To kill him, you can back over your husband, but, you know, broken hip, maybe broken leg.
Yeah.
That sounds fishy to me. All right, Andy. Good to have you back, my friend. And we will talk next week.
All right, Zach. Take care.
Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.